this episode of the Naturist Living Show, the new AANR Executive Director.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener, to episode 93 of the Naturist Living Show. And on this one, we have an interview, which I did a little while ago, with the new executive director of the American Association for Nude Recreation. His name is Dan Wicker, and he's been actually over a year now. He's been the executive director. He started in February 2016. And when I was in Florida for the nude cruise in February, and as well as the an ANR board meeting, I'm not on a board, but I was speaking on issues related to the INF. It was a terrible thing to have to be in Florida in February, given how cold it was in Toronto, but I braved it all for the good cause of naturism. So while I was there, I had the pleasure of seeing the new office of the American Association for Nude Recreation, also known as AANR or ANR, and to meet its new executive director, as well as the president and the whole board. And we had a great time. And Dan is the 12th executive director. So despite the fact that ANR has been around since, depending on how you count, the 1930s, they say they've only had 12 executive directors. He's a 12th. But it has been a little bit of upheaval in the last few years. Because since Eric Shutoff resigned after 11 years, he resigned in 2011, there has been three. This is the third executive director. First, it was Jim Smock, who we interviewed in episode 40. So you can go and listen to that, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then after that, shortly after that, Bill Shorer became the executive director. And he resigned or was fired, depending on who you ask, fairly quickly because of some conflict. And you can hear more about that in episode 73, where Felicity discusses her thoughts and what she knows about that. And then there was a period without an executive director where Beverly Price, the president, essentially acted as the executive director. But they now, well, for the last year, they've had an executive director, and he seems to be well ensconced and doing a lot of things. I mean, it is a challenging task. All associations are having problems with the way things are changing in the world, but naturism has had some particular challenging times. We've talked about that in previous episodes. You know, I've had a lot of experience with the Federation of Canadian Naturists, where I was on the board and president for a number of years, and with the International Naturist Federation, the INF, and I've worked with Nature Society and ANR, and a little bit with British Naturism and other associations. And the problem is simply that. The problem is that there used to be almost a tax on naturism. You had to be part of an association in order to gain access to most clubs and resorts. And the only way to get information was through their magazines or guides, because there was no internet, no other way to find the information. Now, with the internet, it's easy to find information. You don't need a guide. The magazine is fairly irrelevant. So the value proposition is lacking in for most people. Yes, joining an organization is good, and we support it because it's good for the movement, and it's very important to keep us all together. So I very much support associations. We provide a discount at Bear Oaks for anybody who joins an association. It was a significant discount. And so I want to encourage everyone out there to join an association, any association, whether it's YNA or TNS or ANR or AFCN or the FQN. If those acronyms don't mean anything to you, go look them up on the website. You'll find them. I'll put links to all of them in the show notes. But the problem is, just joining because it's the right thing to do is not something that most people will do anymore. They want to know what they get for their dollar, for the money they spend by joining. Why would they join? What's in it for them? And that is the challenge. That's the challenge that's being posed to all association. And that's part of what we discussed when I sat down with Dan Wicker to find out what he's been doing and what his plans are for AANR. Tell me more about yourself and your background. Where do you come from?
Originally, I was born in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, so I am a what they call a Florida cracker from down here. When I was very young, my parents moved us up to the Cleveland, Ohio area, and that's where I did most of my growing up until I was in my early 20s and decided that the cold was not for me and wanted to come back to Florida. So I moved back down here in the early 90s. That's where I met my wife. Interestingly enough, it was working for Universal Studios when that theme park here was only probably about 4 years old or so. And that's where we met through some mutual friends and kind of went on a double date. And it didn't work out for them, but it worked out for us. And the rest is history. So after that, it was kind of just moving again out of state for jobs and for school. Each time I would change a job in my career path, it seemed to move us someplace else. So we did quite a bit of moving around. Got up as far as Richmond, Virginia area for a while and decided it was time to come back to the Sunshine State. So we came back probably about, 6 or 7 years ago, I think it was now, to Southwest Florida. I had a good job there for a community foundation. Enjoyed that for a while, and then one thing led to another, and I saw the position with Anner come up, and I took my shot at it, and here I am.
And are you a naturist or nudist?
Yes, absolutely. My history with naturism is one of exploration. I think a lot of people can relate to that, too. I had not grown up with naturism. We were a family who were we were dysfunctional. We had alcoholism in the family. We grew up kind of separated, but yet under the same roof, if you know what I mean. We didn't hug a lot. You know, we kind of maintained our own personal space. We were clothed all the time, and, you know, it was one of those typical kind of households. But as I grew up, I just kind of felt I liked not to have to wear things, not to have to wear clothing. And I liked the freedom that it had. So kind of in my teens, I guess I would kind of sleep nude. I just knew that there was a different way to view the human body, and I guess that, for me, where it starts. I had a difficulty in the always covering up and in the idea that there were shameful parts of the human body. I wanted to have a better concept of who we were as human beings, even at a younger age in my teens and my young adult years. That led me to explore who has a real good idea about the human body? Are we just sexual beings as the entertainment industry kind of portrays things? Is that really what it's all about? Are we really just looking to hook up? And is that really all that there is? Or is there a better way that we can view ourselves? I just felt like there was something missing and something more. That got me thinking, who has a right view? Who's out there who does that? I thought, well, first thing I came up with was doctors. Well, I go to the doctor's office, and they make you take off your clothes. They examine you, and they don't seem to have a problem with it. That led me then thinking there must be something in your brain that you can actually, a switch, if you will, that you can turn on and off, that you don't have to think of the human body in such either a sexual way or a derogatory type of way or a dirty way, but there is some switch that you can change the way you think. That was the important thing for me. So I continued to explore that, and I thought, okay, doctors, there's one area. Other people in the medical industry, certainly there's another area. Started getting online and looking at things, and I think all of us kind of realized that there were nudists around, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I didn't know anything about nudism. Didn't know anything about nudists. Again, this is in my 20s, in my young adult years. So I get online, I start doing some research, seeing everything that's available out there, reading and reading and reading about the whole philosophy behind the nudist way of life, looking at the history of it. I do like to read a lot, so that really helped me out in my search. Once I got to a certain point, I thought, is this true? Can these people live this way? Do they really think this way? Can people of the opposite sex get together and it be not something sexual, but they can just enjoy this? Is there a freedom in the mind that is available to people if they want to try to go there? And I thought, well, I've read enough. I've seen enough. I didn't really know any nudists. Just the friends that I had were just like me. So I said, there's only one way to find out, and that's to give it a try. I've got to go to one of these places, and I've got to try this out and see if it's for real and see if these people are for real or if what I'm seeing is just a bunch of advertising and hoo-ha. So I did go. We were living in Southwest Florida. This is now only 8 years ago. So in some nudist circles, I'm still kind of a sort of a newbie. But this is about 8 years ago, and we were living in Southwest Florida, and I decided to take a trip up to Lake Como in the Tampa area. And that was going to be my first place to visit. So went by myself. My wife was supportive. I had been talking to her about these things all along. And her attitude was well, okay, that's for you, but it's not really for me. But I understand, you know, what your search is and what it's all about. And she trusted me to go and it would be okay. So I just went by myself and finally had that first experience. That's now what I tell people today. You can do all the research that you want. I could talk to you about the greatness of nudism till we're blue in the face. But until you finally have that experience, that first time experience, and get that aha moment, you can't really grasp it. You can't really understand it. So that was my aha moment. I gave it a try and I didn't turn back. After that, I was full-fledged all the way in. Shortly after that, I took my teenage son with me and we continued to go to Como. My wife was still, okay, well, that's fine for you guys. You have your father and son, you know, little camping trips and things, and that's okay, but it's just not really for me. But she would read things that I would give to her. She was open-minded about it, but she had the typical concerns, I think, that especially most women have, body image issues and things like that. And she was thinking about it, but not quite sure. And I didn't push. I don't think it's ever right to push people into anything. And so we just continued that way until the job with Anna as the executive director came up. I took a shot at the job, and they obviously liked me. And then it was, okay, well, now this is getting even more real. Now it's not just a kind of hobby thing or something that I'm doing on the side and trying to get my family into, but now I'm actually going to be leading the leading organization in this country for naturism. So it was good for me because it forced me to really sit down and think, you are serious about this, right? And I said, yes, I am. I mean, I have to be. It was easier for me. For my wife, she kind of laughed and she's like, well, what have you done? We knew that it was going to happen. Again, she was open. She was almost to that point of trying it anyway. So when we came for the job interview from the board, that was actually a year ago right now. That was her first time experiencing social nude recreation. And to her credit, she just said, I'm an all in or not person. So I'm either going to go for it and just be nude or I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And she just went for it. And that was her first experience, was when we came up here and the board talked to me and formally put me in the position. So, it was exciting. It was very exciting and very neat for her too, because she was so new. And our lives have changed for the better all the way around because of it.
So what do you think that Anner, the board of Anner, saw in you that they picked you to be executive director?
Wow. I could only imagine. I mean, I for sure had the job skills and the experience, had many years of work in nonprofit organizations, had leadership experience as well. tons of marketing and advertising and communications experience, which at that point in time and still today is what was needed and is needed the most. So I think they liked those communications skills and abilities to kind of revamp and boost, give a boost to Anner's brand, which is just exciting and challenging to me. They may have liked my energy, the fact that I'm a family person, of course, which now my whole family is a nudist family. And we can approach other families because of that. I think surely nudism is made up of a diverse population. We have single people, we have people from all persuasions and all walks of life within the nudist movement. And for longevity, we have to reach out to new people and younger people all the time. That's a big spot in my heart, is to continue it and to see it continue and to grow. And to do that, we need to take care of our current people as well as reach out to new ones. So I think they saw that passion in me and attracted them as well. It was an easy fit for me as far as I was concerned. In my career, it was the next logical step up for me to take the reins of an organization like this. So I kind of felt like I was prepared already, and it was a fit. It was a great challenge. It was something that I loved. So for a change, I would be going to work in the morning, working for a place that I really felt passionate about and believed in.
So do you think there is a future for associations like Anner? I mean, I can go to the internet and Google and find everything I need. I can read news about naturism and nudism all day long without stopping. I don't need a printed magazine. There's no guide anymore because it's not necessary. So what's the future for organizations like Anner?
I believe that the membership model of organizations is definitely not dead. It is not dying. The proof of that is the fact that people still join things. And I get that question quite a bit, or the outright comment that people just don't join things anymore. My communication staff and I were having a conversation about this very thing about a month and a half ago in one of our kind of powwow sessions. And I said, this is the feeling that's out there among a lot of people. People just don't join organizations anymore. I beg to differ. I will use Starbucks as a case in point. Now, you don't join Starbucks per se. However, they do have a way that you can connect with them on a deeper level through their frequent coffee buyer cards and their gold membership cards and things like that. Ultimately, in marketing and in advertising and in sales, we know that's just about selling more product. But yet, they have found a way to connect people to their brand and create a very strong brand that gets people to continue connecting with them, to continue buying their product. And boy, Starbucks customers are passionate about that product and about belonging to that brand. Nowadays, in marketing and in branding, the sense of belonging that people have comes to their attachment to a very strong brand. Apple computers, Starbucks coffee, Nike shoes. It's not just a pair of shoes. It's not just a product, but they have found ways to craft a sense of belongingness and to create basically a community around their brand. They can do it in the for-profit world. We can do it in the nonprofit world, and that's my goal. I believe that is how nonprofit membership organizations need to change. They need to take those types of business models and just take and turn them and apply them to the nonprofit world. You can still build a brand in the nonprofit world that will give people that sense of belonging and make them want to belong, and that's my goal for Anner.
So what's Anner doing well right now, and what do they need to do better?
What we are doing well now, from a leadership standpoint, is taking a look at where we've been, seriously taking a look at things that are not working really well for us, and talking about changing them. It sounds simple, but for a large organization, board of trustees, membership and leadership that are spread across the country and into Canada and beyond, it is difficult to come to consensus and to sit down and actually say, it's one thing to say we need to fix things, and you can keep talking about that for a long time, but I believe and I see that ANR has reached a point where they're putting everything on the table and saying, enough talk, we're going to talk, but we're also going to finally start doing some things to change things and make things better for our members, for our clubs, for our regions. That excites me, because that's where it's got to start. It's got to get past the talk, and it's got to get moving into action, and we're starting to see that now. That energized me as the executive director to go into the office and look at the administration of the office and processes and how we do things, and come up with different ways to do things there to streamline our processes and get ready for the new stuff to come. So my first year has been basically about building up that foundation again and getting ready to add new programming and new structure to the organization by cleaning up the processes. And we're just about there. But the year 2016 was big for that and for me. And I'm excited because we have an excellent office staff, a great crew of people working there, very knowledgeable and very passionate about what they do. And that makes my life a lot easier. So it's the idea that we are at a point in time as an organization where we can't keep doing things the same way. Most organizations, nonprofit, reach a point where they've come to a point of growth and in existence where they have to take a real hard look at the future and where they're going to go. That's where ANR has been, and they are looking at that, and they're saying, we want to do what we can today to sustain this and to keep this going. So what do we have to change to do that? And that's a good place to be.
So who do you see as the people that belong in ANR? Naturists, nudists, people who take a vacation once a year nude, people who live this way? Who do you want?
I want everybody. Bev,
do you even want lifestylers?
Well, I'm going to come back to that. Bev Price, our current ANR president, says it like this. She says, nudism is for everyone. All you have to do is take off your clothes. And I love that quote because it is. And the nudist world is simply a microcosm of greater society. Everybody from all walks of life is involved, and everybody from all walks of life is invited. Dealing with the second part of that question, ANR has very clear principles and standards about non-exploitive, non-sexual nude recreation. I was hired to uphold those standards and to be very strong about them, which is another thing that the ANR board liked about hiring me. I will not compromise on that. I believe that for 86 years, ANR has fought very, very hard. Many nudists before us have fought very, very hard to change society's attitudes about nudism and to say, we're not about sex, we're not about sex, we're not about sex. Not that we are not sexual, not that that is not a part of who we are, but we choose to set that aside to do what we do. For years, well, since the beginning of the nudist movement in North America, that has been the case, and people have fought very hard, and we've gotten to a point now in naturism where it is becoming more and more accepted. Why would we want to go backwards? Why would we want to destroy 86 years worth of work? And that's my question back. So I take the principles and standards very seriously. I think it's a simple thing to do. We've been doing it for years. You just set certain things aside so that you can get together socially and enjoy yourselves together. And then there's certain things that you keep to yourself or you do behind closed doors.
It's true that we want everybody, but as has been pointed out to me many times, and I see the same thing, whenever you go to a naturist or nudist place, it's very, very white. What are your thoughts on that?
As a marketing person, I find anything demographically speaking to be very, very interesting, and it has always interested me that you do see that. It could go back into history of nudism that typically white European background people kind of brought it to this country and kind of got it started. But that said, I have been places where I have seen more of a diversity starting, and I enjoy that quite a bit. Because again, we're a big umbrella. Everybody can come and everybody can participate. I think it's interesting the reasons why people get involved. I think it's cross-cultural. It doesn't matter where you come from. People have the same concerns, the same interests in nudism. It's just maybe we need to do a better job of reaching out and showing that we are all inclusive, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Sometimes it's a chicken or the egg. If people don't see themselves, they don't come. Mm-hmm. What about LGBTQ issues? I mean, there's a gay naturist associations. I've always wondered why is that even necessary, but then I've met some club owners who clearly don't accept them. What's Anner's position?
Mm-hmm. Anner's position is just what I've said before. Nudism is for everyone. All you have to do is take your clothes off. And it's a big umbrella. Everyone's invited. So everything that we do is inclusive of everyone. Just like anything else in society today, it should be open for everyone. We have recently in the Anner's Eastern region, there are two predominantly gay clubs that have come that have provisional charters right now with Anner. So you see some changes there. I just quite frankly say everyone's invited. Come on and try it out.
That's great. So you have a few thousand, well, thousands of people that are listening. Most of them are probably not Anner member. A lot of them are not in North America, but quite a few are. So what do you want to say to them?
Oh, I want to say, first of all, thank you for your commitment to our great way of life. I think everyone can be an ambassador in their own sphere of influence for naturism, nudism, whichever you want to call it, to reach out to other people and explain to them what this thing is all about. From the earliest days in North America of nudism, it was about trying to make it normalized, letting people know we're just regular people like everyone else. We just like the freedom that this offers us. And to try to encourage others in your own sphere of influence to give it a try, to be open and minded about it, and maybe they too will catch some of that freedom. Now, does that mean necessarily they're going to call themselves a nudist? Who knows? Maybe once a year they'll go on a vacation. Maybe they'll skinny dip every once in a while. To me, it's more about the change of mind, because that's where it started for me. To change your mind about who nudists are, to change your mind about your own body, the specialness of it, and the fact that there's more to you than just what you see.
And there's a few other organizations in North America. What are your views about how will you be working with them? Are you guys separate? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely working together. That's how it's got to happen. And we have a good history of working with organizations like FCN, like TNS. There are numerous opportunities for us to partner on things. Surely in the government affairs and legislative areas, we have been doing that for a very long time. That will continue. I would like to see those relationships grow even stronger. We're all in it together. We're all in it for basically the same reasons. So why not work together to achieve our common goals?
So if you're inspired, join the American Association for Nude Recreation and support them. Or if you are inspired in general that you should support this cause, join another one, the Naturist Society, the Fédération Québécoise Naturisme, the Federation of Canadian Naturists, British Naturism, Australian Naturism, New Zealand Naturism, New Zealand Naturist Federation, Australian Naturist Federation. Anyway, there's one in your country, almost certainly. If not, you can join one in another country. It doesn't have to be that one. You can join a non-INF one like YNA, Young Naturists of America, or the Naturist Society, which is not an INF organization either. They're all doing great work. And if you support them, I've belong to many of them, you are supporting the movement. And so please put a few dollars in there to help those who are spending so much time and effort promoting naturism, and voluntary in most cases. And if you want to, they'll happily take your time as well. They will happily have your volunteer efforts to help them, because there's never enough people to do everything that has to be done. So that's going to be all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you, as always, for listening. My name is Stéphane Deschaine. I'm your host for the podcast, and I'm the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And I put this show together finally on a more regular basis because of the great help of Sean Mitchell, who's making the task so much more easy for me by doing all the complex editing. You can find links to all the items we talked about and the associations in the show notes on the website at naturistliving.bearoaks.ca. That's naturistliving, one word, .bearoaks, BAREOAKS.ca. You can send a comment by email. The show's email address is naturistliving@bearoaks.ca. And you can call and leave a comment. We have a dedicated line to record things. You can try as many times as you want. And I'd love to include more comments from you, recording your thoughts and your ideas and sharing some of the things that you've thought about or experienced. The show's phone number is country code 1-905-473-6060. Or toll-free 1-888-373-9124 if you're in U.S. or Canada, or by Skype at Bear Oaks. Just Bear Oaks, one word, is our Skype name. And all three puts you into the Bear Oaks main phone number. And the show's extension is 333. Very easy. You can also find all those numbers on the show's website, which I gave you earlier. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Naturist Living Show, and that you'll join us again for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.